Every story begins somewhere. For your child, it could begin with a Guardian bike. Built right here in the USA, engineered for safety, and designed for confidence. Kids of all ages are learning to ride in just one day. No tears, no frustration. It's why Guardian is America's favorite kids bike, and the New York Times and Wirecutter's top pick 3 years in a row. This holiday season, give the gift that's safer, smarter, and built to last. Visit GuardianBikes.com to save up to 40% on all bikes, plus a free accessory bundle worth over $100.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Introducing Anabay Sofas, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices. Every Anabay sofa is modular, allowing you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabay is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquids simply slide right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink-in feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today. Sofas start at just $699 with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get early access to Black Friday now. The biggest sale of the year can save you up to 60% off, plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Welcome to Activate Yourself with Gita Sidhu Rob, where we feature otherwise normal people who, because of events in their life, have turned left and done unusual, inspiring, incredible things, like build a business, become a happiness expert, marry a prince, create an empire, or, like your host, set up a health and wellness business, Nosh Detox. Here's your host, Gita Sidhu Rob.
Hi, my name is Gita Sidhu Rob, and this is Activate Yourself. And we're always talking about how something happens in life and you get forced to turn left and it activates your superpower and how amazing that is. But, you know, sometimes the thing that happens to activate your superpower is pretty friggin' awful and it isn't you and you had nothing to do with it. And I regularly attribute most of this to my ex-husband with really good reason. Today's guest has a really show-stopping start to her story, because I said when we were talking about the show, you know, Danielle, can you tell me what your real moment is? And of course, as women, we have so many of them because, you know, we're over 12 and there's so many of them. Going through puberty is in itself a story. And Danielle has this insane story of her life as a career woman starting when her husband sexually assaulted someone. Is that right? Would that be the right phrase?
That's such a powerful statement, isn't it?
Yeah. And I'm sorry that that's what I'm defining your beginning as, but it is a beginning, because I just said to you that somebody said to me that the fact that I married a raving con man was one day, you know, and who ended up taking everything and we ended up on the street homeless with my three small kids under the age of seven. Somebody said to me, you're one day going to look back and think, thank you, this happened. And I want to still slap them, even though I think it was the making of me, as it were. I wanted to be made another way. So talk to me about this, Danielle. This is a really one in a lifetime. It's insane, isn't it?
It's insane. It's crazy. And it still shocks me that it even happened, to be honest.
Yeah, and there is something about your life even, because it even sounded weird when I was saying it, when I look at you and you're cute and blonde and friendly and pretty, and I'm like, what? So what happened?
So I had what I thought was a lovely life, living with my husband. And we had, to me, what felt almost perfect, almost idyllic. I had a nice job, but I wasn't going to say I was a career woman. I just had a good job. I worked hard. We did a lot of stuff together and everything was just ticking along nicely. And I remember the day literally getting a phone call from him from a prison cell saying, I've been arrested, but, you know, it's mistaken.
Don't worry.
Not me. We'll get through this. It's fine. And that was the point. Everything changed. So to cut a very, very long and dreary story short, that year was just the craziest year ever. We went to court a number of times. I stuck by him, as you would, right? If your husband tells you he's not done something, you stick by him. I asked a couple of times, you know, just to be clear, you didn't do that? And I got, no, that wasn't me. And we went through this year of hell. It was
because the crime was sexual assault on the London Underground.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. On the London Underground, which he took that journey to work. So it was on a work journey for him. And
expect someone to suddenly wake up and try and sexually assault someone, because it's kind of your, you know.
Yeah, it's the sort of thing I've heard about on the tube, you know, working in the city. I'd heard a lot about it. Lots of girls.
Well, as women, we know, right?
You're always getting pushed up against
empty carriages and all that crap.
Yeah, yeah. But you don't ever expect it to be your husband doing that, that's for sure.
Punch.
So we went through that horrible year and he did get found guilty. And at that point, I remember literally breaking down in the courtroom because I couldn't believe that this was happening. It was just bonkers. He got found guilty. He had to do some community service and pay a fine. Very, very close, apparently, to actually being put into prison.
But he wasn't put in prison.
He wasn't. It's going down to minutiae details here as to whether he would have or not, and he got away with not. Which at the time I thought was, you know, I was grateful for that. But actually looking back, I think perhaps he should have been.
Yeah, I was like, poor victim.
Absolutely. So I hold a lot of guilt, really, to that poor girl who I questioned and doubted for so many months, thinking that she had made up the story, that she was trying to get something out of it, when in actual fact, she was exactly that, a victim. And if she's by any chance listening, I would love to give her my apologies for that, because that must have just been awful.
It's not your guilt, sweetie, but yes.
It's the good in me trying to repay that back. And so when he was found guilty, we then started to sort of talk about it a bit more with people. It was something we'd kept quite close to us, close family and friends. It's something he wasn't too keen on sharing. Now I understand why. And as we did start to share that out, somebody came forward to me and said he'd actually done the same thing to them. And I, again, by default, said, okay, tell me the story. And when the story was told, the details were far too similar. The details were literally replicated. So,
okay, I'm sorry. I'm like literally holding my face in horror.
It's crazy.
You shared a bed with this utter dick.
Mm, quite literally, yes.
You must have wanted to scrub your skin.
I have to say, it was amazing how... I did spend that night. I actually went home to him, and I remember just laying there next to him and just looking and thinking, how could you have done this? And I didn't actually have that conversation that night. I went home because I needed to digest it and I needed to prepare myself. And I remember the following morning waking up and saying, right, we need to have a conversation. And he knew it was coming. And
you had kids?
We didn't. That's a very long story in itself.
Yeah, no, but in itself, thank God.
Absolutely. And we had spent some time trying. And
my God, Danielle, I don't know what to do with myself. I feel so much for you for this appalling experience. I'm so sorry, because you were another victim, but one without any redress.
Mm. Hey. Yeah. But you know what? It's 10 years on. I have worked through it. And
really?
I am truly grateful for it, because I wouldn't have the life that I have now if it hadn't have happened.
Okay, we'll just need a second for me to fucking recover, because I'm kind of like so gobsmacked. But yeah, oh wow,
it's one of those crazy stories that, you know, I can tell people and I know I'm gonna stop a room and stop a whole group of people talking, because they go, what? It's crazy.
Yeah, no shit.
I often think about making a movie out of it. It'd be quite compelling, I think.
Yeah, it's like the girl from the train or something like
That's it, exactly.
All right, I'm back. Right. So you then kick him out?
I did. Not immediately. I was very kind, and I gave him some money. I sent him on his way, and I do regret that. But I wanted him to have no reason to come back to me ever.
Yeah.
So I made sure he was set up and he had somewhere to go. And that has happened. We then divorced. And he did do that amicably, which I'm very grateful for. And
so you hadn't worked at this stage?
As in a career-wise?
Yeah. Really.
I had worked. No, I absolutely had. I always had my own job, my own money. I was actually working in a law firm as a legal secretary. But I never had that. I just don't describe myself as a career woman. I never had that drive to move up, to, you know, progress within the organization. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was quite happy. I worked hard. I did my job, and I never was the person to get up and go once my day had gone. I did always push a little bit, you know, to make sure I did the job well.
So why did you give him money? Did he not have any?
From when we sold the house that we were living in, which I couldn't afford to live by myself after that time. We sold the house, and I did give him some of the money from the sale of the house.
Got it. Okay, let's move on. So you suddenly find yourself that your ex-husband's a sexual assaulter. Your entire life as you know it is slightly upside down, because you start looking at people and thinking, what are you lying about? Because I know that from my experience, it takes a very long time to look at a human. I don't know if I've ever quite got back to normal on that, where you look at someone and think, oh, let me trust you. You're like, yeah, let's not.
Absolutely. For me, it took a little while to, I guess, love myself as well, because the doubt I had, the big question I had at that time, and I would wake up in the night asking and shouting it out, you know, why?
Yeah.
Why? When I thought everything was so good, what made you feel the need to go and do that? Was I not enough? That was a big question that I asked a lot. Was I not enough?
But sexual assault is not a sexual crime, is it? It's a crime of violence.
I guess so.
Because rape is a crime of violence. I've never really thought of sexual assault, but I would imagine it's a crime of violence.
There's a very fine line between the two.
Yes. Whereas rape is 100% a crime of absolute violence. It's not at all considered to be sexual.
It made me question a lot of things about our relationship, about other things, very tiny things that had happened in the past that I'd overlooked.
Yeah.
And suddenly these light bulbs were going, okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Okay, so you definitely have a turn left bloody story, don't you? So tell me what Alice did then. Oh, no, it's what Katie did then. Do you remember those books? What Kate, Louisa May Alcott's, like what Katie did then, what Katie did next. What did you then do after that? And then we'll go for a short break and we'll come back and we'll have you expand on that. So here you are thinking, you kept your job through this process.
I absolutely did. And I have to say, my employer was amazingly supportive.
Amazing.
This was a job that I had only started fairly recently and prior to this happening. So the fact that they were so supportive was absolutely amazing. And so what I found myself doing was actually then throwing myself into work, something I'd not really done before. I'd worked hard, but I went very much over the top to fill the void. I had nothing to go home to. I just had nothing else in my life, and I needed a purpose. I needed a reason. And so I threw everything into work, and I became quite good at it, and found that actually I quite like this. I quite enjoy it. Yeah.
Satisfaction of success.
Yeah. But and more to the fact, I think that it was just me and my responsibility, my accountability. There was nobody else now. This was all for me. And so, yeah, that became everything for me. But as a result, I think I ended up then neglecting myself, my well-being.
Is that how you started to do all your work? Because you got burnt out.
Exactly.
Oh, interesting. Okay, because... So we're going to go for a short break. And when we come back, Danielle's going to talk to us about the work she does today, which is about looking at the role of the menstrual cycle, periods and hormones in your everyday life, and how to actually use these cycles as rhythms in order to help us to, you know, as women to show up at our best, in everyday life, because they're each, anyone who's ever had a period will tell you, there are parts of it that work fine, and then there are parts of it where you end up literally thinking, somebody shoot me now, because that would be preferable. So we're going to be back in a second. We just go for a break.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Every story begins somewhere. For your child, it could begin with a Guardian bike. Built right here in the USA, engineered for safety, and designed for confidence. Kids of all ages are learning to ride in just one day. No tears, no frustration. It's why Guardian is America's favorite kids bike, and the New York Times and Wirecutter's top pick 3 years in a row. This holiday season, give the gift that's safer, smarter, and built to last. Visit GuardianBikes.com to save up to 40% on all bikes, plus a free accessory bundle worth over $100.
Life gets messy. Spills, stains, and kid chaos. But with Anabe, cleaning up is easy. Our sofas are fully machine washable, inside and out, so you never have to stress about messes again. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Get early access to Black Friday pricing right now. Sofas start at just $699. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
So we're back. So tell me about how you found out. So you went into burnout, right? So how did that lead you into finding out the hormone effects on it?
So when I say burnout, I think it's not perhaps how some people view burnout. I didn't completely burn out and end of. What I was noticing was a cycle of continuous burnout.
Yeah.
So every month,
the ups being okay and the downs being terrible.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. And I have suffered in the past with being low, verging on depression, but probably more so just feeling low. And so I resonated with understanding these highs and lows that I was experiencing. But I would just find, you know, in one particular month, I could be super productive, doing the most amazing work, wanting to be sociable and connect with all of my colleagues. Mm-hmm. And then I would flip into this alter ego of me who would then become a lot more introverted. I would struggle with that social environment, still put myself out there, but it would be harder. It would be a lot harder work. And I knew I couldn't do my best work. I'd procrastinate. Everything took me twice as long. And, you know, I just saw this constant cycle. Absolutely. Yeah. And so I could see there was a pattern here. And then I started to track my cycles. I actually read a book called Period Power by Maisie
Hill. Yeah, Maisie Hill. Yeah, she's fabulous.
Amazing. Yeah, I love her. And there's loads of other books that I could recommend, but that was the one for me that I read. And I just, everything I read in this book just made me realize everything made sense of to how I had been going through these ebbs and flows each single month. But ironically, that wasn't where I started to do the work. It was something that I clocked for myself, and it was something that I just practiced myself and grew this huge amount of learning on.
The thing is, why do we not get told this stuff?
I know. It drives me crazy.
Bloody irritating that we don't get to. I look at now my daughters and the way they track their periods, and it's a completely different experience. But a lot of that is because people like you have done the work before them, because we just never got told this.
It's you get taught the science. And for me, I learned enough just to pass the exam, not about practical stuff.
Clearly.
Yeah. Yeah. How does this actually impact us on a daily basis? How are we meant to cope with that? How are we meant to manage it? None of that was definitely taught to us. So the work that I'm doing now is partly with young people as well, and a real mix of ages, to be honest. I often get people come to me at the menopause age because that's when they're starting to have that awareness. But what I always say is come sooner, come as soon as you have a period. That is the time to start learning about this stuff. And then you've got, I think, what is it? Something like 450 periods we have in a lifetime. You have 450 opportunities to actually learn about yourself and to just be better and better every single month.
Okay, so you're getting a period, you're now tracking your period, you're realizing there are bits where you're good, there's bits where you're walking through treacle. What do you then do about that?
I started to implement in my own life, just some of the different ways of you optimizing it, as I would say now. But really trying to focus on varying exercise, varying my nutrition.
Like how, for example?
So exercise is probably a great example, because in 2014, I actually attempted to do an Ironman triathlon. And I was in Mallorca, and there's me on the start line thinking, you know, confidently, yeah, I've got this. I've done a few half Ironmans in the past and thought I'd be able to be doing it. I didn't train enough and I didn't respect my cycle enough in that time, and I failed. I was disqualified because I didn't reach a certain point by a certain time, and that killed me. I hated that.
Yeah.
And so I came back 2018. I went to a different venue, but I came back with a very different outlook. I had been training quite intensely, and I'd been respecting my cycles with that as well. I had a coach, and we always respected where I was. So for example, when you are the period phase and the period before the period phase. So if you look at it as like seasons, if say winter is your period and the autumn is that little few weeks before that, when you're kind of
weeks
experiencing
or the week before.
It, 10 to 14 days before. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it can be. Everyone is slightly different. But that kind of phase, it's about actually focusing on more strength work, as in not the intensity that I was doing. So a bit more in the gym, yoga, stretching, working on form rather than the power that I was doing or the speed.
So rhythm and strength instead of cardio and HIIT.
Exactly. And then
sounds like perimenopause.
Yeah, a little bit. And then on the flip side of that, those spring and summer times, you've got the high energy, you've got that hormone driving you.
Yeah.
That's when you push it. And the more you can get in alignment with those two sort of inward and outbound phases, you're able to just react. Your body just reacts because that's what it's designed to do. And I did that Ironman and I smashed it. And that was one of the biggest learnings that I had at that time.
Love
and
that.
It's just, I've carried on with that ever since.
Oh, I love that. That's just phenomenal, because I think I never really thought about this until I had, I was on a mastermind with a girlfriend, and who runs a really big coaching business. And we were flying back from the US, and we'd both been independently on this thing, and we were sitting in the airport and her calendar was all color coded, and I'm like, what on earth is all that? She goes, oh, it's color coded to my periods. And I'm like, what do you mean?
Mm-hmm.
And this must have been 2016, and God, imagine, I'd had all my kids by then, and you know, I'm looking at that going, eh? And she's like, yeah, so when it's like this, I do this, and when it's like this, I do this. And I was just like, oh my God. And I couldn't quite get my head around it, so I left it and moved on. But I paid real attention when it came to perimenopause. That's when I started really looking at hormone cycles, hormone profiles, and when it's a transfer to a cortisol profile instead of a bloody hormone profile, right? That's when I paid attention. So for example, I love that you delineate them. So you've got periods as winter, then you've got spring, summer, autumn. So mm-hmm. these are 4 weeks of the cycle.
Yeah.
Now you're talking about how you would change your exercise patterns during that period of time. Would your mindset be affected in that period of time as well? Because you were saying about when you procrastinated, walk us through so listeners can think, what is it that the different weeks show in terms of your mindset and your ability to get things done?
It blows your mind as to the amount of things that are impacted by your hormones. So mm-hmm. literally everything in your life, you know, it could be your energy, your focus, how much you procrastinate, your motivation. It could be down to something like your clumsiness. You might find as your period is approaching, you're bumping into things, you're dropping things. You know, all of this is just reflecting your hormones, but we don't even realize it. So yeah, to walk you through a cycle, let's start off with winter. So that's your period, the one we're all pretty much familiar with, to be honest, isn't it?
Yeah.
So likely to feel lethargic, probably have low mood, be emotional. So be prepared for the fact that you're probably going to beat yourself up about something or the other. But the more awareness you have, you can stop yourself in your track and say, whoa, I know why this is. Let's move on from that and let's put things into place that can stop you from going down that whole rabbit warren. But the strength you have at that time is a heightened level of intuition.
Yeah.
If you're able to use that, you can come up with some amazing insights and prepare yourself for the next cycle to do things differently, or, you know, to leverage things that you found worked for you in the past. So using that is amazing.
So can I ask, one of the things that I find interesting about the work I do in perimenopause is I'm always trying to teach women that it's kind of the universe's way of smacking us across the back of the head and going, listen, pay attention to yourself, because you will never get through perimenopause successfully into menopause without paying attention to yourself. The way to have a miserable experience in perimenopause is to pretend it's not happening. Right?
And yeah. And that's why I encourage people to do this tracking as early as possible, because exactly. It can smoothen that transition for you. Absolutely.
Yeah, because what you're doing here is already putting the self-awareness piece in. Because we as women are 100% taught to disconnect from our bodies and not to connect. We're taught to dislike our body. And my pet peeve is this whole weight loss industry and crap that comes on, you know, after that, of how we're not good enough unless we fit a pro forma. And that pro forma also is the perfect woman that doesn't have pain, doesn't bleed, doesn't have, you know, like, what do you think of the pill of the what is it? Is it the coil where we just don't get periods anymore?
Oh, I had this conversation with someone this morning, interestingly.
Do you think, so number one, I don't love it because I'm unhappy about what it does to our body. But number two, do you still get spring, summer, autumn?
No. So if you're having a hormonal coil, because some are, some aren't, if you're having any kind of hormonal contraception, it's basically suppressing ovulation. So even though some of them give you a period, it's called a withdrawal period. It's not real. So some people still say, oh, well, I still get, you know, the phases. And I have to say, some people are still cyclical, but that can be for other things like the moon cycles. I'm not particularly woo, but some people do believe that.
Very woo. I have no problem with woo. So when we stop you ovulating from such a young age, does your body make eggs after that? Because it adjusts, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm no scientific expert, but I have to say, I have heard that people say, I think it's something like for every year you're on contraception, it takes like 10 for you to really clear it from your system, which is crazy.
It's a bit like jet lag, but on steroids. Absolutely. It's like for every day, every hour you were behind, it takes it. Yeah, because I had jet lag from last week. Oh, that stuff just upsets me so much.
Yeah. There's a lot of work going on at the moment around trying to look at, and I think it's coming from the whole menopause awareness piece.
Growing. Yeah, because the gender health gap does not in any way make us available for someone to look at how our bodies work, because nobody cares, right?
Well, if you look at all of the research that's done on bodies generally, the majority is done on men.
76% of the mice we test on are male.
There we go.
Women's products. Mm. I put a video out in this on TikTok and somebody yelled at me and I'm like, don't be yelling at me. I'm not the one that chose the goddamn mouse. Honestly, it's just, this is the reality. Look it up. And there's just a place where it's outrageous. It just gets me really uptight. But we're not going to go back to interviewing you. And I'm going to keep having this conversation when I've had a little break to go yell at the wall. And then we'll be back in a minute.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Every story begins somewhere. For your child, it could begin with a Guardian bike. Built right here in the USA, engineered for safety and designed for confidence. Kids of all ages are learning to ride in just one day. No tears, no frustration. It's why Guardian is America's favorite kids bike and the New York Times and Wirecutter's top pick 3 years in a row. This holiday season, give the gift that's safer, smarter, and built to last. Visit GuardianBikes.com to save up to 40% on all bikes, plus a free accessory bundle worth over $100.
Tired of spills and stains on your sofa? Wash away your worries with Anabay. Anabay is the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slip covers made with performance fabric. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Shop WashableSofas.com for early Black Friday savings, up to 60% off site-wide, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
So we're back. I'd like you to walk through the cycle, because I'd like people to understand that they're meant to have a bloody cycle. You know? Okay, so keep going through it, please.
So if we go into, we've had our period, that was winter. Yeah. We go into spring, which is technically called the follicular phase. And this is where the hormone levels do start to rise. So just like in spring, you know, the sun starts shining, temperatures are going up, you feel a bit more energetic, don't you? You feel a little bit more social. You want to get on and crack on, do a spring clean, and you want to do things. So that's going to be reflective in your behavior, your attitude as well, your mindset. It's just all over more positive. This is the phase I'd like to stay in forever, to be honest with you. This is my favorite. And then when you actually ovulate, that is your summer. And I, in my TED talk, I talked about this as a David Attenborough program. You've got a bird. They're following this bird and it's coming up to mating season. And it, you know, they puff themselves up, don't they? And they do this dance because they're saying to basically all the other birds, hey, I'm ready to mate. You know, my body is telling me I'm ready. We basically do the same thing. We just don't realize we're doing the dance, but we feel more social. You feel more confident. If you're a businesswoman, I tell them, go out and network at that time. Go and do more sales calls. That's going to get you business, because you're going to glow. You're going to go into a room and everyone's going to go, wow, who's she? You know, that's your power at that time. And then you go back towards the introverted when we go into autumn. So even if you are an introvert, you're going to step into the extroverted side. And if you're an extrovert, you are going to go into more the introverted side. And you're just going to go a bit more inward, maybe a bit moody. You're definitely going to be more self-critical. And that's where, again, putting these processes into place to be aware of that and to stop you going down that rabbit warren of critiquing yourself to death. It's fine. I understand why.
Do women drink more in autumn?
Alcohol?
Because I heard a lot about, because we've always called it PMS, really, without any understanding. Oh, that's when I'm going to go mad, which, oh, don't get me on hard, annoying. But have you found anything leading to the fact we tend to drink more? Because PMS, that place where women feel so much more unstable within themselves and it's self-critical, they tend to drink more.
It's an interesting one, because I'd say there's two sides to this, and it's probably going to come down to your personality a little bit. Some people drink more in that ovulation phase because they're feeling like they want to party.
Yeah, they're out more.
Yeah, but they don't necessarily need it so much to have a good time, if that makes sense. So when you're in that autumn phase, yes, you might drink more because you might still have to go to a social event because it, for whatever reason, you can't change it because it doesn't fit with your cycle. You still have to go. And so then you might drink some to give you that extra confidence to be able to be the person you were the week ago.
So what is the one thing you wish women knew about their menstrual cycles and themselves? Or even the top three things. Don't let me stop you.
The biggest thing for me is how to track, because so many people don't know about that. So the biggest thing that I teach most people at the start of when I start working with them, and they just go, oh my God, why didn't I know this, is about basal body temperature tracking.
So is there an app for this, or is it that there isn't and you've got to do it yourself?
There's a million apps where you can track the data.
Okay, but you know how to. Okay, go for it.
Sorry. Yeah, the how-to piece of literally having a thermometer by your bed, the first thing you do in the morning before you get out of bed, because that's really important, because your body will adjust as you get out of bed and go into the different environment. Literally taking your temperature, because effectively there's a pattern of the first 2 weeks of your cycle-ish, so that period and that week after, your body will stay at a certain temperature. And then when you ovulate, it will rise by approximately 0.3, 0.4 of a degree. And it will stay at that until the day that your period comes. So there's no more of this, actually, I don't know, is my period coming today or not? This is really awkward, isn't it? Sometimes you can be out and you're just like, oh my God, is it or not? So I can tell you in the morning, oh, it's coming today because my temperature has dropped.
Got it.
Which is so nice, so refreshing to be able to have that control. So that's an adjustment.
Exactly. Yeah. Control, that's the right word.
Yeah. But then also, you know, you'll know when you're ovulating. So you've got that ability to have that knowledge, that insight as well. So as much as you can feel your way through the four phases, there's data there to show you. And, you know, cervical mucus is another one, which everyone goes, oh, I don't want to talk about.
No, that's true. I knew about the cervical mucus. Talk about that quickly.
So as you go through your cycle, the type of, so we're talking about fluid that comes out in your knickers, or yeah, as you're wiping, you might notice it there as well. It changes in consistency throughout the month.
Yeah.
So it sort of starts off fairly thick. And then as you get towards ovulation, it gets more kind of egg whitey and a bit more stretchy if you were to pull it apart. And then once you've ovulated, you go very dry again. And you might notice that during sex as well, that you might need lubrication at that time because you've not got that natural lubrication in your body.
And this is the same thing with perimenopause and menopause, when you just need more outside lubrication because you're naturally dry.
Exactly.
I didn't know that. That's a good link. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And all of these things, these are the things that I say, my God, why aren't we teaching our girls this? Because it's so important for them to know how to understand, how to read these signals of what's going on inside.
Is there a, so I have a question, very quick question, but then I want you to tell me how you teach people. Is there a link to weight gain and loss in this period of time as well?
Oh, I haven't seen about weight gain and loss. I have certainly seen about bloating.
Yes.
That's a big one.
Even the rest of the female world.
Yeah, exactly. But that comes down to
most bloated. The week.
Again, everybody can be different. Generally around the pre-period phase, so that autumn and going into your period, but also sometimes when you're ovulating, some people can experience it then as well.
So when you're teaching people this, how is it that you teach people all this process, these processes?
Processes. So I have a signature framework that I use. It's called the three C's, and that's focusing on clarity, connection, and control. And it is working through. We start off with understanding why people even want to do this, getting a really strong reason why they should introduce these new habits into their daily life. Because without that, you can do it for probably for 2 or 3 weeks, and then your cycle will change and you'll drop those habits. And that's what we see happening. So really getting a strong why, having a look at mindset, having a look at the culture that you grew up in. You know, how is periods talked about as you grew up? How have you been educated?
Not.
Exactly. So it's allowing people to understand that it's okay. It's okay to talk about that. And we create a nice safe space for that as well. And then that connection piece is about this awareness, teaching them literally how to track. I give them templates of how to use, to fill in. And then we start looking back to make those observations as to patterns that we're looking for in behavior, in physical changes, emotional changes, mindset changes, all of this. And there's prompts there for them to follow to just open their minds to all of this possibility. And then we go into control. And this is where we put systems in place. So exactly like you described your friend with the calendar and the different color blocks, those are the kind of processes that we'll put into place. And everyone is a little bit different. But it's looking at ways in which we can firstly allow you to know when those things are happening. But also then we look at how do we need to communicate that perhaps across your family and friends and your colleagues. Some people still very much like to keep that to themselves. But there is an argument to say, well, if you're not telling anyone about it, how do you expect them to understand why you're totally different to how you were last week? So there's a real strong element of communication. And
yes,
how we bring that in.
Like all the women have done over the ages. Got it.
Yeah. And that's essentially, and then we refine that process. So every single month it's looking at, okay, what worked last month? What didn't work? What are we going to do differently? And you use that heightened intuition when your period is there to use that and look back and find out what's working for you. And over the months, you'll just create this perfect plan, which I describe it as like swimming with the tide instead of against it. So everything is just easy.
I find it really interesting because there is just a place where we did not grow up with any of this information, and we found it, you know, by mistake, all of it. Like, you know, perimenopause apparently only came into existence last week when HRT suddenly wasn't available. And then we started to talk about it. And now it's all over the place. But I know that I only found out about perimenopause when I got COVID and got thrown rudely into perimenopause last year. And my body was like, what the hell? And my doctor was like, meh. And I was like, meh is really not a good answer. So if what you do is you help women from a very young age feel back in control of their bodies and their mind across the weeks of a cycle. You know, and I think that that's amazing. How do people find you?
I am on Instagram and I am the HCO coach. I obviously am the hormonal cycle optimization coach, but that's such a long way of describing it. So HCO coach on there. I have my website as well. And actually on my website, there is a freebie for anyone who's listening who wants to just get on one page, a really simple guide to how you should eat, what should, how you should move and what you should do through each of those four phases. So that's on my website. So it's www.thehcocoach.com/free-stuff.
Perfect. We'll have the link as well, but that's really helpful. Thank you so much. Danielle Howell, I'm very grateful that you joined us. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
My name is Geeta Sidhu Rob. I hope that this has been interesting, you know, for you, because it's interesting for you. Well, if you're human, because either you are having a period, you had a period, you gave birth to someone who's having a period, or you marry, live with, or have sex with somebody having a period, or work with someone having a period. So at any stage, let this be a conversation that we're all having instead of the ways that we were brought up, where it was something to be embarrassed or ashamed of, and that we had to hide, you know? And if life is, if the purpose of a useful life is having an enormous impact, then this work is such a great definition of that, isn't it? So I hope you enjoyed the show. Please join us again next time. My name is Geeta Sidhu Rob, and this is Activate Yourself.
Thank you so much for joining us. Our goal was to give you pause, make you think about your life, and inspire you to say, wow, what if I tried to do that? If they can do it, so can I. Did it work? Let us know by finding us on social media at Geeta Sidhu Rob or at Nosh Detox. We upload new shows every 2 weeks here. And if you start to miss us, check us out on YouTube.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Every story begins somewhere. For your child, it could begin with a Guardian bike. Built right here in the USA, engineered for safety, and designed for confidence. Kids of all ages are learning to ride in just one day. No tears, no frustration. It's why Guardian is America's favorite kids bike, and the New York Times and Wirecutter's top pick 3 years in a row. This holiday season, give the gift that's safer, smarter, and built to last. Visit GuardianBikes.com to save up to 40% on all bikes, plus a free accessory bundle worth over $100.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.